you know, when the Surgeon General says that there is a mental health crisis for our children, the Surgeon General is spot on.
Now, how has the pandemic taken a toll on your loved one's mental health? Hi, I'm Shantae. Welcome to Parenting Special Needs Live. We all know the pandemic has taken a toll on all of us, but how is the pandemic showing up in your loved one's mental health? Could it be academic decline, increase in anxiety or depression, a slide in social skills? I've asked Dr. Trella to join us today. Dr. Trella is a psychologist who maintains a private practice in pediatric and adolescent psychology, and he consults at several mental health agencies in Ohio. Today, I've asked him to share his expert opinion on how the pandemic may be impacting your loved one's mental health. Please help me in welcoming Dr. Trella. Thank you for being here today, Dr. Trella. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about this topic. Can we begin the conversation by talking about what you're seeing in regards to academic decline from the pandemic?
Most definitely, particularly in reading and mathematics. And the study indicated that there has been an academic decline in both subject areas, perhaps more so, well, not perhaps, more so in the area of math. So that, and it's significant. So before the pandemic, we saw academic gains. After the pandemic, as we went through the pandemic, and right now, we're looking at children who are struggling more in the area of math. And maybe that's because math requires more repetition. You know, it builds on the subject matter, builds on each of the different concepts, but there's a decline in both areas. And so that's showing us some real data in real time that there has been a decline. And that's not even talking about the child's motivation to do the academic work, which is another issue that has been significant as a result of the quarantine, the pandemic, the kids not being in school in person, so on and so forth.
And what would parents do if that is showing up? Like just...
Fortunately, you know, if the decline is a result of the fact that they didn't have enough instruction or, you know, repetitive instruction, you know, the instruction online was important, necessary, but I don't know that it was sufficient. And so, you know, that there are deficits in their skills, so they haven't learned the information. So it's more, it's amenable to remediation. So in other words, we're not talking about a child that has a learning problem or learning disability, and that's why they have declined. And we're talking about children that just didn't have enough education and practice and teaching so that they have to now get that. So if a child is that much behind, then tutoring would be something that would be effective. Ooh, sorry.
No problem.
And so that providing academic support where needed and necessary would be important.
And, you know, would they also show like, you know, increased anxiety or depression? I know I read something, you know, about 2 weeks ago, the young model, you know, jumped off the building and committed suicide. I've read in the newspaper where more girls are going to the ER for anxiety and things like that. So can you kind of share a little bit on that?
Sure. I just talked to a group of educators last Friday. And one of the things that we talked about is that there was an increase in the amount of anxiety and depression in children, in particular adolescents, pre-COVID. So that we were seeing a trend of our kids becoming more anxious, more depressed. And then, by the way, COVID hits and the pandemic and the shutdown and the quarantine. So it's caused our kids to be increasingly more anxious, increasingly more depressed. And you're right. Over the past year, there has been a tremendous increase. Some say as high as 40% in the amount of ER or emergency department visits for kids with mental health reasons, particularly suicidal ideation. That rate has increased dramatically for girls, particularly the girls between the age of 10 and 14. So it, you know, when the Surgeon General says that there is a mental health crisis for our children, the Surgeon General is spot on. I mean, there is a mental health crisis for our kids. So it was trending in that direction pre-COVID, and then COVID hits and it just aggravated the entire situation. So more kids are anxious, more kids are depressed. And more importantly, they're more socially isolated. You know, when I talked with the group of educators Friday, one of the things that they're seeing is they're finding that that a lot of kids are coming back with a lack of social skills. Like, how do you interact with one another? How do you have a conversation with one another? How do you solve social problems? What kind of conflict resolution skills do you have? So it's cut across the board, you know? And so schools now, in addition to dealing with all of the academic issues, now are dealing with a lot of social, emotional, and mental health issues. And so it is an opportunity for schools to provide support, and many are, but it's also causing some chaos and some interruption in their ability to teach children.
I can imagine. And I want to ask too, because anxiety shows up differently in kids, right? They don't necessarily present the same way adults do, right? Or do they have different symptoms? I mean, can you share on that?
Well, the older the child gets, the more it mirrors or looks like what anxiety would look like in an adult. But young children, you know, even preschool children and early elementary school age children may not demonstrate the same kind of anxiety symptoms. With young children, their anxiety, their stress, their depression most often shows up in their behavior. So, you know, when you look at, they may start acting out. A child who is very affable and outgoing might become more introverted. There may be changes in their mood in the sense that they're much more irritable. You know, they're not as nice, so to speak. You know, not as much fun to be around. There are changes in their sleep and appetite patterns. So there's a lot of things. You're right, you're correct, that in young children that we have to be vigilant to identify any changes in behavior, any changes in their routines. And by the way, routines, I can't emphasize this enough. It's like when you get to the point, like, what do? Just maintain routines. Try to maintain a child's, when they get up, what they do, when they go to school, what happens when they come home, what happens after dinner, what time do they get to bed? All of that, all of those routines just provide a sense of structure, and that sense of structure provides them with reduced anxiety.
Yes, unless you have, and also, well, then what about with children and maybe who have that routines, they get so stuck in it that they can't deviate. I mean, sometimes you have to deviate, that creates anxiety too, so.
There's another phenomenon that I'm seeing in my private practice, and when I talk to parents and teachers, is this sort of this developing a learned helplessness. You know, kids were, for example, if you take our ninth graders this year, they were in seventh grade in March 2020. And so they finished the year virtually. And then during their eighth grade year, it was maybe inconsistent. Maybe they attended school, maybe they didn't. And then there was more social isolation. And now all of a sudden they're starting ninth grade full blown, you know, in a traditional, typical kind of day and structure. And they don't possess, they've missed out on all of the social skills and development to respond constructively to those situations. So now we have students across the board of all ages that are saying, like, I don't know if I want to go back to school. I don't know if I'm ready to interact with people again. I'm kind of comfortable and I don't want to venture out. In fact, if I venture out, it's a little bit too much anxiety provoking. So I get calls from parents and they say, like, you got to help me. She doesn't want to go to school, or she is not doing her work, or he's refusing. You know, where once he was an A student, now he's getting B's and F's. So that it has affected the child's sense of control, their sense of hope, and their sense of the ability to have this more internal sense of, like, I can control things, I can influence things, to more so like, I don't have any control over any of this. Mm-hmm. Student told me last week, he says, I'm so far behind that it just doesn't matter anymore. You know, and so when you start hearing that, then there's this pervasive sense of helplessness and hopelessness that directly fuels and leads to depression.
So what can parents do? I mean, what can we, parents, society, school, I mean, what can we do?
Well, I think we need to try to get back to whatever the new normal is these days, you know, try to, as I said before, get kids in school. Kids need to be in school. I mean, in our community, the rate of transmission is now low enough that there's not a significant concern for kids not to be in school. So we need to get them in school. We need to continue to help transition them. One of the things that we may have done is we may have brought kids back into situations that they were not ready for. So in hindsight, maybe we should have helped them transition into more amenable kinds of schedules, you know, in terms of helping them transition back into a full-time. So for example, in September, if we would have gone to less rigorous educational expectations, you know, maybe more free time during school, more activities during school, and slowly start moving us back to where we are now, to a typical school day. Parents need to provide support by listening to their children, providing sympathetic and active listening skills, addressing, especially we talked about children who may not be showing the signs of anxiety, depression, be vigilant about that and to be asking kids, like, how are you doing? What's going on? How are your friends doing? Talk to other parents. Limit the amount of time that they spend on social media. Limit the amount of time that they spend playing video games. All of those things contribute to a child's sense of well-being. If it's more significant, get them professional mental health treatment. And that's also an issue because there's so many of us, children and adolescents and adults alike, that are struggling, that sometimes we've taxed the mental health system. You know, counseling centers are overwhelmed. It's difficult to get an appointment. When you get an appointment, you may be able to meet this Monday, but not get another appointment for 2 or 3 weeks. It's just been difficult to access mental health services. So it's trying to do the best you can to provide the amount of support that you can. As parents, the best thing you can do is to be warm, caring, loving, but firm, you know, so that they continue to experience positive disciplinary measures so that they start to internalize the ability to cope and deal constructively with what comes along the way.
Oh, wow. And now we have other things going on in the world, but okay. So I appreciate that you said that about what the parents can do. I mean, and keep the routines as much as we can, keep things the same, and be there for them with an open ear, right?
And to keep them focused and moving forward. I mean, I think parents, when they say things like, I know this is tough for all of us. I know this is difficult, but we're making progress, we're moving forward. Kids need, especially younger kids, they need to be told that, hey, look at what you're doing, look at how you're moving. They need that information. We can't assume that they're just thinking like, hey, that was a good day. You know, I did this, that, and the other thing. They need to be told what they did. Like, I appreciate the fact that you told me about that situation with Billy and you guys worked it out. I mean, I really like that because the two of you were able to solve that problem without going to your teacher or your parents. And I'm proud of you for that. So that kind of feedback gives them not only information, but praise and reinforces those kinds of behaviors. So I think parents can offer just in general, like a positive, like, hopeful, we're moving forward, we're coming out of the dark, you know, we see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're running towards it, and here are the things that I'm seeing you do, and these are the kinds of things that I'm going to do as a parent to keep you moving in that direction.
No, I love that. That's great advice. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing with us. Your website is Dr. C for Kids.
Exactly.
They can find you there. I know that you've shared before with us, and I can't thank you enough for coming back and talking with us. So thank you so much. And I'm going to tell everyone in the audience, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for watching. And in case no one has told you today, you are doing a good job. Be good to you. It's hard work. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.